18, verse 1 says, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come." Let's settle that and get that over with. Figure that out quickly. They're going to come. They're coming. Whether you want them to or not. Offenses will come. That means somebody's going to make you mad. Somebody's going to rock your boat. Somebody's going to displease your ways. Somebody's going to do something like you like it. Done. Ain't going to be somebody going to upset you. Say something mean to you. Not like you for some reason. Maybe not for no reason. Just not like you. Something's going to offend you. And the funny thing about offenses is it may not offend me, the thing that offends you. May not offend me at all. And that's the tactic of the enemy, because he really does know exactly what offends you. And he will set you up with offenses. So just mark this down. If you're going to be a child of God and you're going to be a Christian, offenses are going to be coming at you. They're coming at you. So that tells me I better prepare for the offenses. I better do something to prepare so the offenses don't do what they're supposed to do. Do you know what offenses are supposed to do? They got a reason for being there. It's to stop you from serving God. It's to stop you from being effective for God. It's to stop you from loving God. It's to get your eyes off of God. It's all about interrupting your work with God. Let's do some interruption here. It really is to get you off track. Because you have an enemy who's watching you every day. And he sets stuff up for you. But the offenses are there. But does that, and a lot of people say, oh, but God has to use the devil to teach you something. Let me disqualify that right now. God never employed the devil to teach me anything. Amen. Ever. Amen. He never brought a sickness to me to teach me something. He never brought a problem to me to teach me something. That is not, God does not have the devil on his employer's list. Amen. Period. That needs to be established in a child of God's heart, because you always be thinking when the devil's doing something in your life, well, God's using him to teach me something. And you just really need to just take a big old a religious eraser, because the religious eraser put that there. You need to take your religious eraser and erase it. Really, your faith eraser and erase it. Because that's not a truth. That's man's way of figuring it all out. The word, you got to go by the word. You got to get back on the word if you're going to walk for God and live for God effectively. I mean, you're going to go to heaven. A lot of Christians are going to die and go to heaven when they die. They're going to die and go to heaven. But the life that they live here is going to be a struggle until they get the revelation that Jesus is the victor. Get it right. Get your thinking right. Get your believing right. God is for me. The devil is against me. That's about as clear as I can make it. I mean, God is completely 100% for me. He's not trying to hurt me. He's not trying to make me sick. He's not trying to cause me problems. God is never thinking evil about me. In fact, there's a scripture in Habakkuk. He says, pure eyes to even behold iniquity. He doesn't think evil. He doesn't plan evil. God is a good God. But I do know who the God of this world is, and he is. He's a liar. Jesus said he's a liar. He's a liar from the beginning. The truth is not even in him. He can't lie. He can't tell the truth. Even if he wanted to, he cannot tell the truth, because the truth is not even in him. That's his personality, is death, lying. He's a thief. So we know that if something comes to put a yoke on you or steal from you, it is the root of it, the cause of it, the culprit is the devil. So I always like to clear that up. Clear that up right now. Just establish that. That'll really, really help you serve God effectively. Now, I ain't saying you ain't going to serve God, and if you believe the other way, but I'm telling you, there's something about knowing that and being established in that truth that will really help you give the devil a black eye when he needs a black eye. You know he needs a black eye once in a while. He does. He needs you just to stomp him good. You know how you whoop the devil? With the Word of God. That's all I need, is just the Word of God. No. It's when you act on the Word of God. It's when you act like it's really true. You see, faith is an act. Faith is action. Faith, you can talk it all day. You can talk about the word. You can quote the word. You could remember. You could actually memorize the entire Bible. But it's not going to mean anything in your life as far as dealing with the devil until you act on it. He's watching whether you believe it, because he'll know whether you believe it because you're acting like it's true. You're believing, you're acting, and you're believing is the example that you believe it. Does that make any sense? Yes. If you're talking it, you're walking it, basically. Talking it, you're walking it. Amen. And glory to God, we got an advocate with the Father who's making intercession for us if we ain't doing what we're supposed to be doing. So let me go back to this verse. It's impossible. Jesus said this. I didn't say it, but he said to these disciples, and we're disciples, so he's saying it to us. You see, if Jesus ever said something to his disciples, he's saying it to us. If it pertains to the new covenant, and I believe this does. He says, offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. But let's just jump on down here, and I want to go down to, let's go to verse 6. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Have you ever seen a little mustard seed? If you just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea. And it should obey you. Who's it obeying? Is it obeying God? It's obeying you. It's obeying you. But you mean I can say to something, be plucked up and be removed, and it will obey me? I ain't nobody. I ain't nobody special. No, you're not. Really, we're just flesh and blood, aren't we? We're just people, right? I mean, that's what the world wants us to think, that we're just human. We're just human, you know. We're just human. I am human. But I'm something even greater than being just human. I have supernatural anointing by the Holy Ghost, and I am a spirit who's connected to the spirit realm, who's connected to the Most High God, who is a spirit, who lives. I'm telling you, there's a place of power that we are connected to. But anyway, let me go back. I don't want to get way off here. I want to stay right on track on what God has given me this morning. He said, Jesus said, now the if word is mean, well, if you do it, first of all, the if is on you now. You're the one that's got to do the if. And you say if, it means it's not going to happen automatically because you're the one going to do some saying, because you're the one going to do the talking. Somebody's got to talk in this situation. Somebody's got to say something. And so it said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. Now, where do you have faith? Where is faith? Is faith something I can go down to the corner grocery store and buy it? Is it packaged anywhere? How do I get this thing called faith? If this faith, if I just had enough, you know, it's not like I have to have a lot to do this. I just have to have the size of a grain of mustard seed. But where do I have the faith? Can I pack it in my suitcase? Can I put it in my purse? Can I carry it around, you know, on me somewhere? The faith has to be somewhere. It has to be there because he says you're the one that has to have it. So if I have to have it, you know, I have to have a pair of shoes. I like shoes. So where do you put shoes? You put shoes on your feet, right? I wear shoes. Shoes don't go on your head. Shoes don't go on your hand. You have to put it somewhere. Faith has to go somewhere. And guess where faith lives? Guess where faith is put? If you have it, you got it somewhere. Guess where you got it? You got it in your spirit. Faith is a force of the human spirit. Faith is spiritual. Faith is a spiritual commodity. Faith is a spiritual thing. Faith is just faith. Cannot put it on a lab table. You can't examine it. You can't dissect it. Faith is faith. So, like a pair of shoes, you wear the shoes on your feet, but where do you put your faith? Where does faith go? Where does faith belong? I should say it that way. Faith belongs in your spirit man. So, let's just look at it clearly and understand something here. That Jesus would never ask you or make it possible for you to do something and he wouldn't help you understand how to do it. I've understood that about the Lord, and I've even actually brought him to the table on that. I said, now, Lord, you would never tell me I could do something and not show me how to do it. That would be an unjust thing to say, okay, you can do this and this, but never give me an understanding how to do it. And he began to show me. He'll show you that faith really is a force of your human spirit. and you, but you're going to have to get your head and your heart and your, well, your mouth has got to cooperate with the word, with faith. Now, Jesus was talking here about a mustard seed, and he was talking here about a sycamine tree. And there's, I believe, way more that we want to go and talk about on just the fact that this is a, this is more of a type. This is more of an example. You know, Jesus really came to the people's level and talked to them on their level. They used mustard. They understood how to grow mustard seeds. It was something common. So they understood what he was saying to them. And they were able to look at it and say, you mean if I just had that much faith, I could say? See, they had to do it, though. Something you and I have to do. And he said, be plucked up by the root and be planted into the sea, and it shall obey you. There's so much more here than I want to go to, because I've got an agenda this morning. I've got something I want to get to. But I just want you to get this revelation that faith is something very real, because you got to have it to do this. You got to have it to be able to say to the sycamine tree, or say to anything for that matter. You've got to have faith to be able to do this. And it doesn't take a huge bucketful. Okay? Everybody wants so much faith. Well, do you have any faith? I think most of us walk around with way more faith than we know, but we just are not putting it to use. It's like having the pair of shoes on the shelf. We just ain't putting it on and wearing them. We are just not using what we have, because we're not saying what we should say. We're not applying what we have got in us to apply. We've got to take action. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. And when you say something, you have to believe it. And then you have to act on what you have said. Glory. Okay. So let's establish, doesn't take a huge amount of faith to move a sycamine tree, if it's what you need to do. But there's going to be something you're going to need to move in your life. And it may not be a sycamine tree, but it'll be something. Because Jesus started out talking about offenses. And I don't believe he changed the subject. I think he's still talking about things that come against us, things that trouble us, things that are wrong, things the enemy brings. And he was just saying, hey, it doesn't matter what kind of bulldozer comes at you. You talk to it. Get out of the way. Get out of here. And it will obey you. Obey you. See, we're always at the altar crying, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, do this. Oh, God, do that. Oh, God, deal with the devil. Oh, God, please, please, God. Save me, God. Save me, God. And we have no clue how to operate in faith in a situation or a circumstance. But God gives us real clear instructions here. And then he says in verse 7, now this is what has really been on my heart this week. But which of you, having a servant, now if you'll just take this verse, and you'll look at it. First of all, let me establish something. Did you know when this was written, it was not written in chapter and verse? Y'all know that? Somebody broke it up in chapter and verse. So the continuity, sometimes you miss it. They miss the continuity of the subject. And honestly, I have as much as right to split it up in chapter and verse as the people who put it in chapter and verse when they, you know, translated the Bible. And you do too. But you let the Holy Spirit lead you when you study the Word of God, because you don't want to change the Word, but sometimes the breaking points need to be changed. Because I don't think they always got it right. I don't know if I can trust them to have always gotten it right, because they're not God. I believe God had his hand on these translators. But you have to look at the verses, and you have to hear the Holy Spirit talk to you. Oh, he said, I like the King James because, well, it's hard to understand. I like that. Because then I learned to lean on the one who can help me understand it more. I was leaning to my own understanding, trying to study the Bible. I was leaning on my figuring it out. And then it's a difficult book to read as it is. So that just made it easier for me to walk by faith and trust him to speak it to me, reveal it to me. See, it's a revelation word anyway. So, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Okay? You got a servant. He's out there doing your job. You give him a job. He's out there doing some work for you. And he comes back and he says, okay, go ahead and sit down to eat. Verse 8, but will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards then thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that he was commanded him? I mean, verse 10, this is the part that I've been hearing in my spirit. Because we have a tendency, because we're all made out of flesh, we have a tendency to complain. A tendency to, who doesn't? Anybody have a tendency? No? Everybody perfect? I'm complaining sometimes. I say things to God like, I don't even really want to say it, but I've said some things to God that I've said, I just don't understand. Is that a good way to start in a complaint? I just don't understand. And then you pour out your complaint, right? But he said this back to me. He says, so likewise, you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you. You see, this is personal. We have our own walk with God. If you've done all those things that are commanded you, say this. This is what you say after you've done everything you're supposed to do. You say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now, did he not start talking about faith and how to deal with offenses? Then he was talking about your attitude, how to deal with problems. Then he's talking now about your attitude toward him. And the whole hinge of this message today is hinged on faith in God and faith in who God is and faith what God, what faith can do and how your attitude toward God should be. See, faith is not going to work if we think we're just helping God out. If we're just doing, you know, we ought to be able to do our own thing. I can't do my own thing. I've not been able to do my own thing for many years. And I have done my own thing and got in trouble every time. Every time I ever did my own thing, I got me in trouble. And so to be an unprofitable servant just means I'm doing what God asked me to do, period. And he ain't thanking me for it. I don't get a pat on the back. You're just doing what you were told to do. You're just doing, girl, what you're supposed to do. Your reward's coming. Your reward's coming. I got a reward coming. Proverbs 20:27. Now just remember, we are all going to deal with offenses because it's impossible that they are not there coming. He's going to show you how to deal with them. He'll show you exactly how to deal with them. 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So that means you have a spirit, and my spirit. Just think about your spirit a moment. Think about, you are a spirit. That's part of you. It's going to live forever somewhere. You are going to live that part. That's the real you, actually. If you've never been out of your body and understand that, you know, it's really a wild experience to be out of your body. I was out of my body and was looking down at my body and I was realizing, man, that's my body. The real me is up here looking at my body. So you got to understand, you are a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. Your body's just your earth suit. So the candle, the spirit of man, which is, I happen to be mankind, man. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. In other words, that's the only part of you and me that God can illuminate. That's the only part of me that God can truly get revelation over to. That's the only part of me that God's going to communicate with. That's the only part of you that God's going to talk to. That's the part of you that receives faith. That's the part of you that receives the word, because faith comes from hearing the word. And so your spirit is extremely important. Your spirit, the real you is your spirit. Now, I know we spend a lot of time fixing up the outside. We spend a lot of time worrying about what we eat. We spend a lot of time, you know, a lot of things. But the spirit, your human spirit, is so important, because that's the candle of the Lord. That's where the light's going to come. That's where healing's going to come. That's where revelation's going to come. In fact, anything you need from God's going to come from your human spirit. And when you think, oh, God's just going to dump it on me, it says it's a candle of the Lord. Your human spirit is the light. He will illuminate you. He will bring revelation to you through your human spirit. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is the spirit that quickeneth. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing, but the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, there's what I want to get to. Life. Life. There's a lot of dead people walking around. I don't know if you know that or not. A lot of dead people. They look alive, but they're dead. They dead, dead, dead. They ain't got nothing but death going on in them. They can't think nothing but death. They're dead. Their plans are dead. Their hopes are dead. They ain't got no life in them. When you start talking about the life of God, we're talking about Zoe. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about the nature of God. We're talking about something your head can't get. But your spirit knows. You can know this kind of life that lives in you. And the devil's after that. He's after that life, that light, the illumination. He's after your lamp. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. That's what he's after. Because you're an annoyance to him. Darkness hates the light. You're such annoyance to the devil. You're like a somebody scratching on a chalkboard every time you speak God's word. Ever hear a bit around? We drive the devil crazy. He hates us. He really hates you. Especially if you're seeking God and more illumination, more illumination, more illumination, more revelation, more understanding, more light, more light, more lamp, more lamp. I want to be a brighter lamp, God. You better be careful about that. You really do? Do you really want to be full of God? You really want to be a light for God? You really want to serve God? You really want to do what God wants you to do? You're going to be an unprofitable servant if you do. Just mark it down. That's going to be your attitude. After you've done everything you were told to do, don't ask God to make it special. You know, I really sacrificed here for you, God. Don't be asking God to put you in front of anybody until you recognize you're just a servant of God. You're called. If you're called, everybody's called to serve God. I'm called to serve God. I can't live my own way anymore. I can't do my own thing anymore. I can't go my own way anymore. Remember the virgins? They let their lamp run dry, their oil run out. I got to keep the oil going. So if we look at this verse, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now I want you to, if you're right there, in verse, it's chapter 18. Look at chapter 18. Verse 14. Now, if you understand what I've just shared here, and I believe everybody did, then look at this verse here. God spoke this to me this morning. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man is going to do something. Having made an effort to get the word in you is going to pay off for you. I promise you. Because it says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. But his wounded spirit who can bear. But a wounded spirit who can bear. So if offenses are going to come, and it's impossible they're not going to come. So that tells me, Teresa, get prepared. Well, where's the sustaining force coming from? From your spirit. Where does the sustaining force come from? The spirit of man. My spirit will sustain me. Now, okay, well, you're confusing me. You mean you're saying that you're going to do it yourself? No, because I know where my strength comes from. My strength comes from the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. See, but that's part of the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit came within me and I became a new creature in Christ. And you cannot have this kind of revelation until you get the revelation of who you are in Christ. The new creature person you are. Because now you have someone with you, your spirit. I'm not alone. My spirit and the Holy Spirit, he lives in my spirit. He's in me. Holy Spirit, my spirit, I'm not sure if he's on top of my spirit, under my spirit, in my spirit. I just know he's a spirit and I'm a spirit. I haven't got all that out yet figured out. God hasn't really made it clear to me. But it really doesn't matter because you can't put a spirit in a box anyway. Can you put the spirit of God in a box? So you see, he's here everywhere right now. Power is present everywhere. I mean, power is here. Just like electricity or electromagnetic fields are here. All kinds of things are going through this wall right now. God is here. But you have to understand that your human spirit is the container. And your human spirit is the most important thing you will ever have. That's why it talks about in Proverbs that guard your heart, guard your spirit with all diligence, for it precedes the issues of life. Life, life, Zoe. See, I know the devil's after my light. The devil's after your light. It's just the way it is. Because we're in a fallen world. We're in a dark place. So he's after our joy. He's after our peace. He's after anything that's of God. Anything that's of God. The devil wants to steal it from you. And you're trying to hang on to it with all your might, with your flesh, with your mind. And it ain't happening, man. It ain't happening. It ain't happening like that. You know what? Those leaky vessels, cracks cause things to leak, don't they? There's a scripture that says, we need to take heed lest at any time we let those things which we have heard slip. We can't let nothing slip. We have got to be on guard at all times. So the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity. And y'all going to get some infirmities. We all going to be hurt. I've just already decided that's part of the package of being a Christian. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. But see, it's the Lord, the light that's in me, the spirit. Now, I want to move on. Let's go here. John 1:1. Let's look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. St. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now just look at that. Just look at that. The Word of God, the Word, it says, in the beginning was the Word. So what did God do in the beginning? God spoke something. He didn't speak just one thing. He spoke many things. He said, let there be, let there be, let there be, let there be. Did he not say that? And every time he said something, something happened when he said it. See, because God, if God was standing here and he'd say, wall, that wall is green, poof, that wall would be instantly green. If God said, whatever God said, it would happen because that's the way God is. God is his word. His word is God. And God cannot, anything God has said, it has to happen. Now if you just don't have just a little light of that, because that's urgently important to get a hold of, child of God, that you have to know that whatever God says, it's poof, that's the way it is. I don't understand it. I just know that in the beginning was the Word. But guess what? The Word is a person. The Word is real. The Word is alive. The Word became a person. John, in 1 John, he says, our eyes beheld him, the Word of life. We touched him. We know he's real. He's the living Word of God, the walking flesh form of God's Word is Jesus. And then we know that he died for our sins. God purged our sins. He cut a covenant. Jesus cut a covenant between him and God for the human race. He now stands in proxy for me. He's my intercessor. He's my advocate. He's yours too. And we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. So if you just get a revelation of that, the Word of God is a person. And the Word of God is alive. He was dead. The Word was dead. But you know, you can't kill the Word. You can't kill the Word of God. The devil tried to kill the Word of God. He couldn't kill the Word. He was raised from the dead. Because the Word said he'd be raised from the dead. You won't leave my soul in hell. You'll not suffer your anointed to see corruption. You're just, you know, the Word is just the Word. So, now remember, your spirit will sustain you. And your spirit is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts. And he talks about how you can say to a sycamine tree, you can speak to things. You say. You have to say. Now I can just say anything and it'll happen, like God can say anything and it'll happen? No, because you're just a person. But if you will get the revelation of God's word and begin to say the word, it's amazing. It's just an awesome, awesome way of life to live for God. So let me go to John 4:24. I just want to continue on this path here. St. John 4:24. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, what is this thing called worship? Worship God? I didn't worship God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship is an act. Worship is a way of life. Worship's not something you just do once in a while. You worship God because you honor God and you recognize God is in your spirit. You and God are moving and living and breathing in life together. This is a relationship. You have something called fellowship with God. And I'll guarantee you, you do something out of line, the Holy Ghost knows how to fix you and straighten you out. That's what I love about Him. But I have to be a willing participant in that. I have to be willing to go His way. Because in Amos 3:3, I think it is, he says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So there's something about you got to come to agreeing with God. Remember, God's His word. God agrees with His word. See, God agrees with what He says all the time. Now, it's me, it's my relationship with Him that's got to come into agreement with God. I'm an unprofitable servant, remember? Done the will of God, did what He told me to do. But I don't always have to. No, you don't always have to. But you cause the enemy to really have access to you if you don't. And you don't need any more problems because, remember, offenses are going to come anyway. So there's no sense in opening more to you than you need to. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. And you know, he says to tithe, you do that because you want to close some doors up. You start having, as you mature in the things of the kingdom of God, you become aware that there are things you can do to protect yourself. It's like you build your fort. You learn how to start building a fort about yourself. Tithing's a good way. You know, I don't care who you are. You can be a sinner and if you're a tither, I'll tell you what, you'll never be without a job. You'll never be. If you really are doing it for the glory of God, you ain't going to be without nothing. I don't care if you do lose your job. You'll get another one. Justina just lost his job. And I said, you're a tither, honey. You're a giver. You will get another job. Within 2 hours, somebody came up to him and offered him a job. And I told him, I said, I'm telling you, I know that. But see, my spirit knew it. Because I know the word. See, if you can know something in your spirit. See, that's where you know things. That's where you know. That's where your lamp is. That's where your light is. That's where God illuminates through you. John 6:63, since we're in St. John. John 6:63. John 6:63. Mark these in your Bible. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, I used to read this. And I used to think, oh, it's the Holy Spirit. Yes, He does. But I believe it's also talking about your human spirit. The word quickeneth means to make alive. See, if you don't have your spirit, you're going to die. You'll be dead. Your spirit leaves your body is just there, is dead. Your spirit is what keeps you alive. You're alive because you have a human spirit in you. Remember, Adam was formed and God breathed into Adam, into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. The living part of the soul is the spirit. The soul and the living part. Remember the rich man that was in hell, he looked up and he had full capacity and full memory. So his soul was in a company with his spirit. Your soul and your spirit are very close. But he says here, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit words. See, remember the beginning was the word was God, the word was with God, and the word is spirit. Jesus is saying it as plain as could be, they are the words I speak. See, because Jesus is the word, any word he spoke was word speaking word. He's word speaking word. He is the word and he's speaking only the word. And those words were spirit words. He didn't speak anything but spirit words. Am I making that clear? So that's where we come in. Where's where the light comes in? Revelation comes. And Jesus is saying, I can say to a sycamore tree, yeah, just the faith of them. See, faith. Let me show you some more verses. Before I go in and start talking about faith, I just wanted to lay this the way it came to me this morning. Look at St. John 14:6. St. John 14:6. I'm here to feed you this morning. I'm here to feed you. And you may never heard no preaching like this. I'm here to give you some revelation that you may never have. But I'm here to feed what most people already know that have been around the word of faith. And most people already heard these messages. Heard messages about the word. But you can never hear it enough. No. You can never, never hear it enough. But so St. John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That's the same way as saying I'm the word. If he said I'm the word, that'd be saying I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Because he is way, he is truth, he is life. But that's what the word is. In the beginning was the word was what? He is way, he is truth. The word will always be way, truth, and life. And that life is eternal life. You see, we're not talking of just like somebody living and breathing and being alive. I'm talking eternity. An eternal life of God is the nature of God. Zoe. Now, if you go to Mark 4, let's look at Mark 4, 15. Mark 4, 15. And I really want you to see something that God showed me. I saw this. Didn't see it till, really, I've been thinking on this verse, and I thought, I need to look at that verse. Everybody there? It's in Mark 4, 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, so you got to hear the word before you can get it in your spirit. You got to hear it with your ears. You got to dice, kind of like it's got to be mulled around in your head, and then it drops into your human spirit. It becomes a part of you. It's kind of like eating food. You got to first put the food ain't going to do you any good just looking at the plate. You got to take the fork, put the bite in your mouth, chew it, and put it in your stomach, and I digest it. The digestion gets it into your body. So the word is literally something you can get in you. And we know that Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing. So faith is a force, and faith is something you need to use like a grain of a mustard seed to say to something. Then we have to understand what Jesus is saying here. He's saying here that the ones that hear the word, say they heard the word. They heard the word. They actually heard it, the word. But look who comes immediately, the devil. Now that tells me that he must have been standing real close. This is what came to me this morning. The devil's right there. Immediately means, he didn't have a messenger. Hey, they're over there studying the word of God. They're going to church today. Well, send somebody over there. Well, no, it says he was right there. He was right there. He's guarding his he's guarding his property. He's guarding his interests. He got lots of servants, and he will guard them. So you start preaching or ministering to people, the devil will try to steal that word, and he tries to steal it from us. But he says he cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Never give up, ever, trying to steal your light, steal your revelation, steal your word, steal your faith. He'll never stop, never, ever, ever. In fact, he is so after the word in you. He really don't care about you. He's after the word that's in you because he knows what it can do. He knows what the word does in a believer that is illuminated. Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. And on top of that, your spirit will sustain you. Lots of things that have come at me in my life that my spirit sustained me because I had the word sustaining me through my human spirit. That's why I guard my heart. I guard my heart. I know how to pray in the Spirit. I build myself in the most holy faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. Now, I want to show you another verse here. Revelation 3:11. I guess I'm just kind of going down the line the way they came to me this morning. Revelation 3:11. Revelation 3:11 says, behold, everybody there? Behold, I come quickly. Or I come immediately. Or I'm coming fast. I'm coming quickly. I'm coming soon. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So that tells me that, let's look at this. In the light of all I've shared, where are you holding fast anything? I mean, I know what it is to be on a fast train, holding on, keep them falling or whatever, falling down. Or you know, you go to airports and you got to hang on to something. There's rail cars. You know, take a ride somewhere in somebody's car. You're holding on. But he's talking about absolutely, absolutely recognizing that your human spirit is the real you, and that what illumination you have, whatever word level you have received, you know that I take it, right? And why does he say let no man? That means no person has come. Nobody. Don't let nobody. Don't let anything that anybody ever says to you, nothing anybody ever does to you, nothing that anybody has ever said to you, put out your light. Put out your revelation. Steal your word level. Steal your faith. Hinder you. Stop you. I mean, don't let anybody interfere with what you're doing for God. Because you're an unprofitable servant, right? You're just doing what God told you to do. So, the revelation here is Jesus is telling this to the church. The church. And that's us. Don't let any man, situation, through men, steal your crown. Verse 12 says, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how in the world, if I got the word, I know the word, and I can quote the word, and I've got faith, how can I possibly be stolen from me? Remember, faith is an act. Faith is an act. Not acting on faith. If you're not acting on the word, Jesus, either you're for me or against me. Go with me to Mark 11, 22. Just look at that one verse. Mark 11, 22. I have to get this out. Jesus answered unto them. Now, he had just spoken to the fig tree, and they were marveling at the fact that it just had been spoken to, and it's completely dead, and it's withered up from the roots even. I was raised on a farm, and I have my dad used to have loggers come in and cut trees down, and we used to go horseback riding in the woods, and those fallen trees, I would look at them and think, man, they're, and even in hot summertime or in the fall or whenever they cut the limp timbers, it wouldn't matter the temperature, those leaves stayed on those trees for a long, long time. It looked like it was the trees completely cut off from any life source, but the leaves stayed green for weeks, seemed like. It didn't just immediately just... This tree Jesus spoke to, because he's the word, right? It withered up. I mean, they recognized that thing is withered, and it wasn't cut down. It's just... It's like a matchstick. Just whoof. It's withered. Anybody have a plant that you don't water? Well, you can kind of tell it's getting a little dry and it starts to kind of droopy, but it takes a little time. It just doesn't over day in a way, in a day be poofy and happy and then nothing. That's the way this was. And they saw it and they said, and they were asking him about it, and he's giving them an explanation here. And this is the word talking. The word is talking here. And he says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. What an answer. What an answer to that. What? I'm looking at this withered tree and you said, have faith in God? Have faith in God? You mean when I'm heartbroken, I gotta have faith in God? You mean whenever the bills can't be paid and there's no money to pay the bills, I have faith in God? You mean when everybody's mad at me and nobody likes me, I have faith in God? Yeah. See, faith is a force of the human spirit. And so it doesn't matter what offenses have come at you. Doesn't matter. People cussing you at work, people mad at you at work, people mad at you wherever, people not happy with what you do. You just have faith in God. Well, what he's really saying is you absolutely know where your force is. You know where the force is. You think that Star Wars stuff came out. You think they got that revelation on their own about the force. It's been around a long time, the force of God, the power of God. You know, to be a counterfeit, there's got to be the real deal first, right? You ever see a counterfeit $3 bill or $8 bill? Because there ain't one.
Right.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. The devil can only counterfeit what God already has. But there is a force within every human being that is a believer of God, a new creature person. and that spirit. And Jesus would not have told them to have faith in God. And what he was really saying, he said, have faith like God has. See, it has action to it. He produced something. And he was showing them how he did it. Because they were saying, look at the tree. And he's saying, faith, faith, faith. Faith is an act. Faith is an act. Her brother Hagin said that Smith Wigglesworth got on the stage one time. Someone related this to him. And he said he walked back and forth for 10 whole minutes in front of the congregation, in front of the people, and said over and over and over for 10 solid minutes, faith is an act. 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 And I needed to hear that, because I can talk a good talk. I really can. I can preach and talk and pray, but faith is an act. Faith is when I'm saying what God says out of my human spirit. I've learned how your spirit man has to be in agreement with God's word, and you activate his word through your faith in your spirit. You activate his word. What activates word? That's what activates it, through your faith in his word. You got to have the faith first. That's why he's saying, you better have some faith there, girl. You better have some faith in what I've told you. And you better start acting like it's true and talking like it's true and acting it out, speaking it out. You see, I have to believe everything God has said to me for me. It's got to become first here. Faith. So I have to have faith. And I have to faith. Faith in God means faith in his word, because the word is God. So I got faith in God. Well, what good is that going to do me? What good is that going to do me, to have faith in God? Because you ain't getting it. It's about you and your relationship and the level of revelation you have in this word. And how powerful it is. I'm telling you what, the Word of God created everything you're looking at right now. The Word of God created everything, every cell, every particle, every molecule was created by the Word of God. Everything. There's nothing that, and on top of that, not only did he create it, but he's upholding it all together right now by the Word. The Word's holding it all together. It'd just be flinging everywhere if he didn't have glue. The Word is the glue. The Word is what controls this universe. What? I feel what I just felt. Why Jesus was telling them, glory. I feel God all over me. But I mean, he is the Word. And Philippians 3:13. Brethren, now I think Paul is somebody I can follow. You know, they say, if you're going to follow somebody that gets good results. You know, the success. Who successfully served God in his lifetime? Who has been successful as a Christian? Who has really made a mark? Who has really done something for God? I want to follow that person. I want to follow their example. And I want to listen to what he says. And I'm listening here to Paul. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. I have a message several years ago I did called One Thing I Do. One thing I do. And I have done this my whole life since I've been a Christian. This is the one thing I do. And I do it because this is the one thing Paul said he did. See, I'm following his example. He said, this one thing I do. Well, what is it he's doing? That's the one thing. In other words, I make sure that if I do anything else, this is the one thing I make sure I'm doing. And this is what he said. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forget, forget, forget. Your old head has got to forget some junk that you've learned from your past. Your head has got to forget. You got to get that forget. You got to get that blessing of your memory, the memory of the just is blessed. You know, that offenses came to Paul. See, the devil wanted to stop him because he was turning the world upside down for the Lord. And he had a high call on his life, had a high call. Well, we all have a high call. So he says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, his attitude was, I ain't in glory yet. I'm not in heaven yet. Some of us think, well, I got it all down. I got it all figured out. I know all about serving God. No, you really don't. Because I still don't. I'm still learning all about how to walk in new victories, walk in new things, and more revelations coming all the time. And it always will. I mean, I could live to be 200 years old, and I'll still be learning something. In fact, when you get to heaven, you will probably go back to school and start learning things you should have already learned because you got your nose in the word here. That's the truth of it. I believe that with all my heart. In fact, one of the ministers I heard said that he got to heaven. He saw the, I believe it was Jesse Duplantis, he saw classrooms. And he said, well, this is where all the saints have to go to school because they didn't learn it while they were alive, and they've got jobs to do and they're not prepared. That's kind of, or to something to that effect. Do y'all remember what I'm talking about? Y'all heard that testimony? But anyway, go back to this verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, if you do not know how to put a period where a period belongs, you're going to be in trouble. You don't learn how to put an end to that chapter of your life. If you don't know how to close the book to that chapter, if you don't know how to absolutely come to something and that's just aggravating you, taunting you, bothering you, and you don't know how to end it with a period and say, over, gone, see ya, never think about you again, close that chapter. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
If you don't know how to do that, you need God to help you do that. He'll help you do that. Because that's the most important thing I ever learned to do, is absolutely know when it's over, it's over. It's done. I'm not going to mull on it anymore. I'm not going to think about it anymore. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. It's like a history. It's gone. It's like it never happened. I learned how to put a period where a period belongs. And I learned how to put the end of the book. I closed that chapter. I'm on a new chapter now. I'm moving on to a new chapter. Isn't that good that you can do that?
Yes.
We just move on to new chapters all the time in the things of God. But that's what Paul did. Okay, next city. In Ephesus, he was left for dead. They literally killed him. I believe the man was dead. And the Holy Ghost said, oh, you ain't done yet. Clean yourself off. I mean, they didn't just throw little rocks at people. They threw boulders bigger than bowling balls at you. And they were piled on him. He was stoned to death. A mob stoned him. Crushed his bones. Jumped right back up and took off preaching. Next city. You reckon you and I would have thought, I don't know, God, this is an awful high price to pay. Paul said one place, he said, woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe be unto me. He had a revelation of something that I think we really don't see. I'm beginning to see it, and I'm beginning to see that there is a price to pay, and it's called the victory crown. I love that song, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm after something, and I'll pay the price to get it. I've had people spit in my face, cuss me, scream in my face, attack me physically, and have to go on loving them anyway. You know, that's only a human. Only the Holy Ghost, the human fruit, the Holy Spirit's fruit of love can do that. Because my faith sustained me. My spirit, a spirit of man will sustain him. But I have gotten some word in me. And I, honestly, this came to me this morning. I believe that in this time and day we're living, we better get to where we can be sustained. Sustainability. We talk about sustainability. We talk about preparing. We better get ourselves prepared for whatever's coming, for whatever could come. Because I don't want any man to steal my crown. I don't want anything to steal my crown. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the light of what we've heard today, in the light, Father, of what you've given us, in the light of the revelation of your word, that you said, have the faith of God, have the God kind of faith. In the light of this, Father, I just ask you, God, to bring revelation and clarity to everything that was said today, everything that was brought forth today, that it becomes clear and that it becomes a part of who we are, and that we can step into higher ways, because Paul said that I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. Saying you be otherwise minded, God will reveal us to you. That's what you said. Father, I thank you, God, right now, that as we come to you, our high priest, We ask you to forgive us right now of anything we've done or said that was love, anything that was not of goodness, meekness, joy. And don't let us misunderstand, God, weakness for meekness. But let us understand what you are all about. And Lord, I thank you that you're a strong and mighty God. You're empowering us today to walk upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. That we're victorious because you overcame. Lord, I thank you. I seal this word today. I thank you for this word. I say, I receive this word today.